This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. After the recent high school shooting in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were killed, schools everywhere are thinking about the safety of their school communities. In a university setting, it's a multidimensional challenge. Hundreds of acres, dozens of buildings, and thousands of people, often bordering on residential neighborhoods. At UW-Milwaukee, it falls to Joseph Lemire to coordinate the team of professionals that are in place on campus.
Lemire has served as a police chief in the UW system since 2010, starting in Oshkosh and arriving at UW-Milwaukee in 2015. Lake Effect's Claudia Delgadillo spoke with Lemire on campus recently and asked how the university would respond to a crisis.
Here at UW-Milwaukee, like most higher ed institutions, we have a behavioral intervention team. Ours here at UW-Milwaukee is called the CARE team. And the CARE team is made up of law enforcement, legal representation, residence life, dean of students, counseling, health, academics. And those are the people that get together. And if there's threat issues on campus, we all get together so there's no silos and we discuss what are we going to do with it. Sometimes it works in the counseling world. Sometimes the police handle it. Sometimes the dean of students handles it. But we're all at the same table. We're all on the same page, and we decide what's the best course of action in order to help the person if it's a mental health issue, but deal with the threat to make sure the students are safe. So we meet on a regular basis. We're scheduled on a weekly basis and typically do meet. And I think that is really one of the forefront things that has to happen besides all the discussion of weapons and mental health and everything. I think the first thing is you have to be able to deal with the threats as they come in, and how do you constructively do that? And we do a pretty good job here at UW-Milwaukee, and I would say most UW schools do a pretty good job. So here in Wisconsin, those behavioral intervention teams are pretty well set.
Have you gotten any feedback from students about how they feel on campus?
The feedback, I think, is falling more in the world of those that have gone to our active shooter training. So we have an active group of community policing team members that we're in the process again this year of training faculty and instructional staff on classroom safety, but then also all the way to if we unfortunately had an active shooter, what would we do and what would you do as a professional professor or instructional staff do? On top of that, then we also train the students. So if you ever found yourself in that situation, what would you do? So for police, we train all our police on the ALERT model. Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Team is what it's called, but they have a thing called CRAZE, Civilian Response to Active Shooter Events. And that's the Avoid, Deny, Defend model. And we put that out as much as we possibly can. We do as many presentations as we possibly can. So I think the feedback from students, especially the ones that have been to the training, said they got something out of the training that would help them. So I think that part of it, threat assessment and then also training, I think those cornerstones we're doing a decent job at.
And for those training events, do you notice that a lot of students participate in those?
Yep. So we partner a lot of times at the start of the year. We do the Campus Safety Week, and we get a lot of sessions going there. And then we partner with Residence Life so we can get a captive audience, sometimes several thousand that we get through the training program. And we get pretty good feedback on it. People come from different walks of life. Some people may have been from towns where there was a violent event or something, and we get pretty good feedback from people saying, you know, I like the training. I like the feedback. I like the ability to ask questions. The last training session, CBS 58 showed up, and they talked to one of the instructors, and that went over pretty well. So I think people are getting a feeling of, we're doing the best we can with the training, and if we keep going in that direction, we get pretty good coverage.
So, hypothetically speaking, there are many buildings on campus. If there were an active shooter in one building, what do you encourage other people, other staff, other students, and other buildings to do?
So the model of the avoid, deny, defend is a little bit different than the run, hide, fight. They're both good, but what I liked about the avoid, deny, defend model that we use is that first step of avoid is better than just run. We don't want people just to run because you mindlessly may run to where the shooter's at. The avoid idea is taking that second to assess the situation and then avoid where the person is. So if something's going on in one building, but you happen to be in another, you assess the situation and then get away from where the violence is. And we're going to get out a message as fast as we can to let people know where it's happening so they can avoid that particular area and then send follow-up messages. And if you can't avoid the area, say it happens in the building you're at, then you got to move to the deny. So we teach people in the training how to block doors, how to secure doors, how to use the belt maybe that you're wearing to secure a door, how to use items in the room. And if all else fails, you can't avoid, you can't deny, you have to defend yourself. Talk about that mindset of what you might have to do and what are things in any old classroom or office space that could be used as a weapon if you needed to protect yourself. I think people are best prepared if they've thought about it just once in their life. Even for officers that may have to use force in the course of a police job, if you haven't thought about it or prepared for it, it's not normal for human beings to have to use force in some way. So you have to have at least the thought mindset to say, if I'm ever caught in that situation, I'll do something. And I always relate it a little bit to a mother and a child. A mother will take action to save their child, but they have that mindset of, I'm not going to let anyone hurt my child. Well, you have to think about it for yourself, too. I don't want anyone to hurt me, and I'm willing to defend myself if I have to. But the first two steps are avoid or deny entry if you can, and then defend yourself if you have to.
Do you think these training sessions should be required because they're voluntary, correct?
Correct. I would like to mandate all the training, but obviously we can't necessarily mandate all that. I mean, students have a lot of obligations with their own studies and everything, so we do a lot of encouraging, and I think we do a lot of partnering with groups, because any type of training you do, it's always the most difficult part is getting an audience. Now I think we get audiences all the time because an event happened and it's fresh on people's minds. As time goes on, and you know, hopefully, fortunately, there won't be another one in the near future, it starts to wear off and people go about their own lives. But we need to keep it going. The consistency of it and the consistency of the availability is what we have to keep up, regardless of whether an event has taken place or not, just so we can keep it in the forefront of people's minds. Because if you were in a classroom and 30 to 50% of the people in the classroom had the training, they might be able to help the other 30 to 50% that had not had the training. After an event, you always hear different heroes that were in the room or people that helped something. And it's typically not law enforcement. It's the people that were there at the scene when it happened, and some people stepped up and took some action that ended up saving a lot of people. And that's why we have to train the civilian population.
Also on the campus is the Hartford Elementary School. Are you aware of what their protocols or procedures would be if there were an active shooter on UWM's campus?
I don't know the specific ones. It's Hartford Elementary is covered by the Milwaukee Police Department, and we would act in a support role to them. But I would imagine with most elementary schools, there'd be a lockdown procedure. But if the person is inside, obviously that would change the dynamic of those. It's an interesting difference between schools because people always talk about lockdown procedures, and those are good for grade schools and junior high schools, middle schools, that type of thing. It's a lot harder for a public university to do a quote-unquote lockdown because it's just everything is open. It's almost an impossibility to lock down. That's why shelter in place becomes important. So I think what's good for us is we understand all those concepts, that we know that students may be sheltering in place. We know doors may be locked. We know that procedures may be taken. We understand all that portion, and so does Milwaukee Police, and we do on occasion train with them. So we all have similar tactics and things that we would do and go in to address the situation. So we're prepared from that standpoint.
As a nation, do you think there are any steps that we can take forward or precautions that we should take to prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of discussion of gun control, mental health, all the usual words that come out when legislatures talk about it. You know, I think the pillars for me are not necessarily gun control, but there's areas preventing people from getting the guns. There's lots of things that can happen in that world. But then in the threat assessment world, what happens, and I think maybe even in Florida, is you can get tips on people that are having issues, but there's always a question of, is it an arrestable offense? And if law enforcement can't arrest them for the offense of, say, making a threat, depending on how it was made, what do you do then with the information to let somebody know that it exists out there? I think it's that gray area of giving law enforcement, mental health, court systems the ability to do something with the information so then we can keep guns out of the hands of the people that have made a threat. So I think it's that. It's very clear if somebody does something against the law, you can make an arrest, kind of start the procedure. But if somebody just spouts something off on social media or something else, but it's not an arrestable offense necessarily, what do you do with the information? Where do you put it, and how do you make it accessible to the jurisdiction next door or the police department in the next city? How does it make it available to other people? I think those are some areas that legislatures and other places are going to have to talk about.
Well, Chief Lemire, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Joseph Lemire is UWM's chief of police. He spoke with Lake Effect's Claudia Delgadillo.